Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. Shall we pray? Father, may the spoken words this morning be your words. May our eyes be open to see you. May our hearts be open to receive your word. In your name we pray. Amen. It was very early on in our marriage. Joanna asked me what my greatest fear is in life. And that question really threw me for a loop for many, many years. I thought about it, that question, and said the greatest fear in my life was that one day I look back in my life and realize that I have lived a life of obscurity with no lasting significance. That particular question isn't something that we as a couple often pray about and oftentimes that we discuss as a family. I believe if I were to ask around, most people will say that they feel very obscure. That going through the motion each day, completing mundane tasks, fulfilling maybe, but not necessarily significant. Nobody really notice you sometimes, right? Sometimes we feel invisible. People don't really notice us. And if I were to be gone today, it probably doesn't really matter. Probably doesn't really make a difference in this world. But I have to believe deep down inside that all of us, there's an innate desire to have our life mean something. Jesus, who himself experienced times of obscurity in his own life on earth, because if you look into the Bible, that Jesus oftentimes withdrew in isolation to places to pray and to reflect, and he also spent many years prior to his ministry, working as a carpenter in relative obscurity before he began his public ministry. As we go through the Bible, we see there are many examples of ordinary people God uses to change the history of the world. You take the apostles, for example. Andrew, James, Peter, John were what? Anybody know? Yeah, they were fishermen, just ordinary fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector, right? Ordinary people who gave their lives to Jesus and changed the world. This morning, I'd like to take a look at this passage that we just read, because there is a particular person in that passage that we actually know very little about. His name is Ananias, and apart from what Paul gives a brief account of the event of his conversions in Acts 22, we know very little about this man by the name of Ananias, other than the fact that he was a Hebrew, that he was he worked an ordinary job, but he was a follower of Jesus. So we know very little about Ananias. However, there is something very important about Ananias, because Ananias was the central figure involved in the conversion of Saul, who later became Apostle Paul, the greatest evangelist of the gospel apart from Jesus Christ, to live in the history of the Christian church. Without Ananias, there's no Paul. God chose this obscure person to help Apostle Paul begin his journey in his conversion, his development, and his understanding of the mission and purpose that God had for his life. We're going to take a look into this story this morning, and I believe will help us gain some confidence in how we live our lives and how we can be used by God to fulfill his purpose in our lives. And there are 4 points. Number one is living with significance requires an understanding that there are no accidents in Jesus, only divine appointments. Let me say that again. Living with significance requires an understanding that there is no accident in Jesus, only divine appointments. Nothing in our lives happens without God's divine plan. There are no accidents in Jesus. Ananias was chosen for a time just as this. It was no accident. It was part of God's plan from the beginning of time. When God said, go to that house and see Saul of Tarsus, Ananias says, oh my, how can I do that? That man is persecuting Christians. Not just persecuting, he is killing Christians. And God says, my thought is higher than your thoughts. And let my thoughts be your thoughts and give you a new perspective and a fresh vision into the bigger picture. You know, I often tell my kids, sometimes they're in their 20s now, so oftentimes they get a little antsy about, they think about the future, right? I mean, we were our 20s, we all think about the future, and who is that person that God's going to bring into our lives, perhaps, to be our mate and our partner, and oftentimes I would tell our kids, Dad says, just relax. I said, in the right time that God will bring that person into your life. It's not your timing, but it's God's timing, right? There's no accidents, only divine appointments. It's something that we talk about all the time in our family. And it's not just in that particular thing, but in many aspects of our lives, I believe God, in his own timing, made things happen in our lives. And we see similar examples of this throughout the Bible. Right? When we were just going about living our lives in moments when we are least expected, that God calls and uses us for his purpose. You look at the example of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers and spent years in prison. It was in prison when he was least expected. He was called upon to see Pharaoh and when he interpreted his dreams. And eventually, he became second in command of Egypt and helped save countless lives during the famine. Ruth was a Moabite widow who followed her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Israel. And it was during that time, because of her loyalty and because of her hard work and her love for God, and she eventually married Boaz and became an ancestor of King David. And also in that lineage comes Jesus. David was the youngest of his brothers. And it was initially overlooked, but even by his father, right? Samuel, when Samuel had came to appoint the next king of Israel. And he was a shepherd, right? We see David was a shepherd out in the field with a sheep, but in the most unexpected time, God calls him into the battlefield when he battled the giants, and he became a warrior and eventually a king. Esther was an orphan who was raised by her cousin, Mordecai. She became the queen of Persia and used her position to save Jewish people from extermination. And what about Mary in the New Testament? Mary was a young, poor, unmarried girl when she was visited by an angel in the most unexpected time and told her that she will give birth to the Son of God. And despite the societal stigma and challenges that she faced, Mary embraced her role as the mother of Jesus. These individuals and many others in the Bible demonstrate that God can use anyone, regardless of the background or circumstances, that in the most unexpected times accomplish great things for his kingdom. It is important to know that everything happens in our lives is part of God's plan and purpose. And there are no chances and there are no accidents and coincidences. Even when something doesn't make sense, God is in control of the situation. God is actively involved in our lives and working to bring about his will through circumstances and events. I know for Joanne and I, in the midst of some of our most difficult times in our lives, that we often remember that Jesus is the great shepherd and causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose in Romans 8:28. The second point is living with significance requires courage. Living with significance requires courage. This is the second lesson of Ananias, that anything worthwhile in life oftentimes requires risk. You cannot accomplish anything unless there is a willingness to step out and say, okay, I'm not really sure about this, but somewhere I believe this is what I ought to do. You take the risk and you take courage. When Ananias heard the Lord, you go and see the Saul of Tarsus. And he says, wait a minute, I've heard that he has come to destroy the Christians, to destroy your saints in Jerusalem, that your people are being harmed by this guy. But Jesus said, go, I want you to go. And Ananias was obedient and found the courage and the will and went. If we look at the Old Testament, when Moses died, God called Joshua to take over and to lead the people of Israel. But if you read the Old Testament, Joshua was someone that was without courage. He was frightened because of the enemies were more than, in the Bible says there were more than 2 million people strong. But God comforted Joshua, says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And in three different times, God said to Joshua, be strong and be courageous. I will be with you wherever you go. Anything that's worthwhile in our lives is going to take some risks. And God will give you the courage to do it. The third point is living with significance requires faith. Requires faith. You see, faith is facing the unknown with a confidence in the one who knows the unknown. Faith is living on earth with an insight that leads beyond what our human eyes can see. Faith is discovering that God's idea is more significant than my idea. Faith is believing in a God who can overcome my human limitations. Too often as human beings, we focus on our own earthly limitations. Ananias could have done that. He could have said, this is impossible. I am not doing it. There's no way I can go have a dialogue and conversation with this man, Saul. But God said, you do it. And he believed in God and he overcame his own human limitations by faith in Jesus. There are times in our own lives when God calls us to do things that doesn't make sense. It requires faith beyond what our eyes and our heart can experience and see and follow Jesus. Fourth point is that living with significance requires an understanding that there is a cost. That there is a cost. From the life of Ananias, we see an understanding that there is a cost involved in following Jesus. In this particular case, it might cost his life. This understanding is so tied to the whole matter of faith that you cannot separate them. So when we understand that following Jesus outweighs any cost, that is when God uses you to the fullest. There's a cost in following Jesus. As Jesus said in the Bible, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up the cross and follow me, from Matthew 16, 24. Following Jesus requires a commitment to living a life that is aligned with Jesus' teachings and values, and many times involves sacrifices and facing difficult challenges in our lives. Can we take a look at that first picture? I would like to take you a look at this picture. It probably looks familiar to you. How many have seen this picture before? It is one of the 100 most influential photos of all time. The haunting image of a Sudanese child, a little girl, traveling from her village on her way to a United Nations feeding center not too far away. She was so malnourished. She was so hungry. She collapsed in exhaustion. While on her way to the feeding station, she couldn't make it. She collapsed on the ground while vultures perched nearby, waiting to attack. So the young man who took this picture, I am sure there was something that in his heart that he wanted to do good, right? But he just wasn't sure what to do. So the story goes like this. So he took this picture and he waited. And as the vultures got closer, he shooted them away. But the vultures came right back. And because he was told that diseases and sickness in that part of the world, in that part of the region, was so rampant, he was told that don't touch anything and don't do anything at all. So he didn't. He took the picture, waited, and eventually he left and just walked away. He did nothing. Because apparently, in his own mind, the personal cost was too much. He just left. This picture you see up here was published in March 1993 in the New York Times. And then in 1994, just a year later, he won the Pulitzer Prize for this photo, which is the most prestigious prize for photography. And it was named also at that time the 100 most influential, as one of the 100 most influential photos in history. However, just 4 months after he received the Pulitzer Prize, Kevin Carter of South Africa, the photographer who took this picture, was so haunted by the memory of this image and of his own guilt, he took his own life at the age of 33. Every one of us, we have a chance to be successful in life. I hope you are. But there's nothing wrong about being successful, but success really is only about us, about you. Significance is about other people. You see, the man who took this picture had worldly success. He achieved the greatest honor a photographer can ever achieve. But apparently it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So what is going to be enough for us, for you? Success is great. Money, title, prestige, privilege. You can do a lot of things with it. But is it ever going to be fulfilling? You see, there's a sense of urgency that is not about your timing, but is about theirs. You might have 20, 30, 40, 50 years left. They have days, hours, minutes, moments. This little girl had moments. But it wasn't worth it to pick her up. It wasn't worth it to walk with her a few hundred yards to the feeding center. Yeah, I don't want a Pulitzer Prize. But what does it matter? What does it really matter? It doesn't. It's a divine appointment and not an accident that God will place people in your life for you to invest your time and your treasure and your life in. Those people don't have 30, 40, 50 years. Oftentimes, they only have moments. Do you have the faith and the courage of Ananias? When God says, will you go? And you say, yes, I will go. Can we take a look at the second picture? This is our family. You know most of us here, but probably not the one at the end. That is Eukoma, who we brought into our family as part of our family over 10 years ago. Eukoma lost his mother at the age of 10. Went to live with his grandmother, was abused by his grandmother for over 7 years, very abusive. Was kicked out of the house at the age of 17 years old. He was out on the street and oftentimes sold his body for sex in exchange for shelter and food. He was homeless, living in a shelter. I met Eukoma when he was 19 years old at my school in San Francisco. Eukoma didn't have 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. He had days. He had months. That's all he had. He was in a bad, bad shape. I could have walked away and said, you know what? Oh, well, I don't know what to do. I can't really touch this. I can't really, you know, bring someone into our lives who's homeless, who is, you know, someone from a different ethnicity, someone we really don't know into our lives. But I know God placed a burden in my heart and Joanna's heart, and soon after we met him, and as we continue to get to know him, we brought him into our lives. And he's been in our lives ever since. It was probably one of the hardest things that we ever had to do because he's never been parent. There are so many issues growing up with him in the last 12, 13 years. He went on to the military, and he's now back in San Francisco. He's working. He's an aspiring magician, and he's good. He's good, right? But this is what I'm talking about, is God places people into your lives for a moment when they only have moments. If you don't do something and step out in faith and courage, those moments could be gone forever. His life has changed forever because he had a chance to be a part of our family. And we're grateful for that. And he was just baptized about a year and a half ago. He was baptized in our church, and it was an incredible moment to see him come to Jesus. And we were praying with him for him for years and years and years, and he came to know the Lord. He's plugged into a church, and he's good. Truly, I tell you, in Matthew 25:40, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. I think the greatest tragedy in life is one day looking back in your life and realize that all that you have achieved and that all you were successful in doesn't matter. I wish you are successful in life. I hope you are. And I don't wish, you know, I wish that on everybody, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But I also wish you a life of significance. Because when you follow Jesus and line your heart with his will, you begin to see the world differently. You begin to see the world as Jesus sees it. You walk with courage and faith, and ultimately, I believe, we find significance. In the last couple of years as a family, we have experienced tremendous loss. Obviously, our pastor, my father-in-law, Pastor Chen, I lost my mom. I lost an aunt, Joanna, lost an uncle, and several other friends. One of the things that I have learned through all of this loss is that one day, once you die, how much you have, how much money that you have, nobody cares. How much education you have achieved, nobody cares. How much you have accomplished, nobody cares. The only thing that matters is how much you have loved, is how much you have cared, how much you have served, and how much you have given, and how much you have lived your life for Jesus. God wants to make significant impact in each and every one of our lives. As we yield to him, as we follow him, we commit our lives to listen to his voice and gain courage, I believe that we can also transform the world as God, just as God has used Ananias. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful for this time. We are grateful for knowing you as our Savior and Lord. Deep down in each and every one of us, we desire to be used by you in a significant way to change the world, to touch the lives of people. Father, we pray for those opportunities. We pray for courage. We pray for faith. We pray for an understanding that your timing is not our timing. Father, we pray that we can internalize that there is a cost involved in following you, that we're able to give, that we're willing to give it all up, Lord, for the sake of the kingdom. Father, bless this church, be with this church, Father, because our heart is in line with your heart. And Lord, we just pray that you will guide us and lead us in a powerful way to do your work. Lord, thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.